Hello, Los Angeles. Hello, lovers of the black and gold. Hello, fans of Major League Soccer. And more importantly than any of that, hello to the millions
and millions
of defenders of the bank listeners. This is one more sleep. Less than 24 hours from now, we will be heading into Sandy, Utah to take on the really Salt Lake team that bears a beloved member of our black and gold. I'll mention his name later on in the podcast. But first and foremost, introductions are in order. My name is Christian Philly Philemon, the platinum-haired flamingo, coming to you live from beautiful Philomonster Studios in Burbank, California. And joining me, not behind the famous scarf wall, and I'm scratching my head during this introduction, behind the very famous blinds of the Scarf Sierra out of Lawndale, California, J.R. Liebert.
Yeah, that's right, the scarf. What the hell is going on with Carlos Vela? But that's for a whole nother time. Philly, you look like you're wearing last year's RSL kit just a little bit. You gotta at least tell everybody what you're wearing so they don't think you're wearing the yellow RSL kit from last year.
You know, that's fair. I didn't even think about that. I wanted to represent Global Diplomatic, a not-for-profit endeavor run by our good buddy Carlos Aguirre. You've no doubt seen Global Diplomatic. Anytime that we've gone on away days, Global Diplomatic has been there to set up a group of people going out and supporting the impoverished people of whatever city, Cuidad, that we've gone out to visit. And Carlos Aguirre and his father, Robert, they do amazing things in terms of create awareness, raise money, bring clothing, bring food. And I just wanted to represent them because this is a beautiful gift given to myself and Jonathan Reimer at a time where they all came through to Toyota Arena to catch an Empire Strikers game, and it was awesome. So I wanted to make sure that they got the proper respect that they deserved, and that's what I'm rocking. Not a Real Salt Lake kit, folks. Global Diplomatic. And if you don't know what that is, we'll post about it later. But Global Diplomatic, Carlos, you know what's up, baby. I'm representing you. That's what
yeah,
I'm rocking. Yeah,
look, I know this is one more sleep. By the way, it's the scarf. I didn't say that, but it's me. You know that. I'm just Philly, I'm all a flutter with the news, the potential news. And the only reason why I say potential news is because when Tom Bogert's at least mentioning it, it's got to be somewhat legitimate. I do appreciate Tom saying he's still going to speak with LAFC. But y'all, Carlos Vela, a member of the Smurfs, it's not final yet, but I did not have that Philly on my 2024 bingo card for LAFC.
Some clown-ass shoes, man, if you ask me. But at the end of the day, as per Tom Bogert's report, he would be getting DP money heading up to San Jose. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to blame him for wanting to pick up designated player money because LAFC is not going to offer him DP money. They just are not. And it guts me to think that this is even remotely possible. It's not a force of hand at the end of the day. It's not a stupid ass rumor that we hear from all these ridiculous pundits that post garbage just to get traction and just to get likes, because we know there's a lot of idiots on Twitter that do that for that reason. But when Tommy Scoops posts things, chances are they are within the inner workings. If Carlos goes up north to collect the bag and remain a DP, I don't blame him. Does it bother me? Oh my God, does it? At the end of the day, this is a business. It would break my heart if that's the case. But ultimately, Carlos Vela needs nothing. Absolutely needs nothing and doesn't owe us a damn thing. He did everything he could for us in so many times. El Tráfico Radio.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Okay, Wayne Campbell. Hey, you want me to put on my Wayne's World hat? I absolutely will. It kills me. But at the end of the day, Carlos needs the bag, baby. He doesn't need the bag. But still.
Interesting that we have El Tráfico Radio in the chat. Welcome. And welcome to everybody in the chat. Jacob, Omar, Gomez, Gutierrez, everybody. We love you guys so much. Look, bottom line at the – oh, what's up, Mike? Mike Gray.
Mike, I love you, buddy. I know. I know it's you.
Look, end of the day – I think we all can agree, even though, as Vince LaRosa pointed out, guy is still, what, 17th or something like that in goals and assists created in the season in MLS. I think we all kind of agree, though, that DP money may be better spent on not Carlos Vela. I'll say this, though, the one caveat, and I agree. I agree with everybody out there that's saying it. I'm absolutely in the same corner as everybody else who's like, we can't DP him. Just remember, sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And if we spend DP money and get an Andre Horta or a Brian Rodriguez or a Mario Gonzalez, I'm just saying, folks, I'd rather have Carlos Vela for that than those guys. Hindsight is 20/20. But out of all the teams, all right, I really didn't like McCarthy going to the Galaxy, but hey, they offered him the bag. I really didn't like Maxime Crépeau going to Portland, but hey, they offered him the bag. Is $3 million over $1.6 million? It's easy for me to say that's a whole heck of a lot of money, but at Carlos Vela's stage in his career, I just wonder if, and this is crazy that I'm going to say this out loud because it would change my life, but is the 1.4 or 5 million that we're haggling over for Carlos to stay with LAFC or to go to San Jose, is that something Carlos should even be sweating? It's easy for me to say no, because he's the one that's made all the money and he's the one, but Carlos has always looked at football as his job. And if he looks at it that way and he's just going on the bottom line, I get why he's doing it. And I want to say one thing. It does not tarnish a single thing that he's done in black and gold. It does not tarnish the memories. It does not tarnish the moments. It does not tarnish the emotion. But I will say this. It may tarnish his legacy as an MLS player a little bit, in that he's leaving LAFC to maybe finish somewhere else, especially if it doesn't go as well as it might have leaving LAFC. However, they have no Cade Cowell, so you're getting Carlos Vela as a Cade Cowell replacement. Could be interesting. I don't know.
I mean, if it's the difference between 1.5 and, I don't know, 5 million, I mean, ultimately it's a no-brainer as to why he would go.
Right.
But if it's the difference between 1.5 and 2, then I might feel a little perturbed. 3, okay. I still feel like he could really make up that difference on sponsorship money if that's actually what happens. But at the end of the day, as we all know, it's a business. If I'm working at firm A and they offer me 1.5 and firm B, who is a competitor, is going to offer me 3, I would be an idiot not to move. And quite honestly, so would all of you be idiots. Because at the end of the day, we know loyalty only goes so far. Ultimately, he doesn't owe us a damn thing. He did everything that he possibly could. Would it be amazing to have him on this roster and to kind of do like something similar as to the Kobe Bryant or the Derek Jeter farewell tour? Absolutely. But it's a business. And as much as we get ourselves emotionally wrapped up into all of this, it's a business. We would all do the same goddamn thing if somebody offered us twice what the other competitor was offering, regardless of where we were. So if, in fact, Carlos Vela does go to the Smurfs, then so be it. Let us be Gargamel and stomp his ass when he comes to BMO Stadium, but give him somewhat of a hero's welcome when he comes back.
Oh, yeah. Give him a hero's welcome. And if he scores, I might cheer a little bit, but then I'm going to boo him afterwards. So, yeah.
Yeah, something similar like I experienced. And you, Scarf, as a Mets fan, when Mike Piazza went to the San Diego Padres, and I bring this up because you and I are diehard Mets fans, I was at that game at Shea, sitting in the right field when Mike Piazza came back wearing Padres colors. He came out to the exact song that he would walk out to home plate for, which is pretty cool that Shea Stadium did that. He didn't catch anything in his first at bat. His second and third bat, he took Pedro Martinez yard, hit home runs. The first home run, everybody cheered. The second home run, half the crowd cheered. The third attempt, he took Pedro yard, and the majority of the crowd booed. And I would anticipate that all of us would do the same damn thing, but we all know what Carlos did for us. And it doesn't really freaking matter at the end of the day what he does going forward. It would be great if he stays. If not, whatever. Take the money and run. I get it. You get it. We all get it. The millions get it.
And millions. Yep.
It is what it is. He hasn't left yet, Josue. There's a good darn chance that he goes to San Jose, though.
That's very, very true. Has not left yet. And somebody asked me, by the way, if it hurt more when Chiellini left or if Vela leaves. Chiellini retired. He hung him up. There's nothing you could do about an athlete who gives every damn thing they have for 21 years to a sport saying, I'm out. That's not the case with Carlos Vela. Philly for the 17th time. LAFC and RSL. Again, it's a matchup that I really want to go to. You guys, can we play it maybe in the summer at one point so we're not dealing with thunderstorms on the back end of a game in Sandy, Utah? I really want to go to America's First Field. It's not America's First Field. It's just called America's First Field. It's a sponsor. It's an insurance company. Anyways, I really want to go to this game, and I'm jealous of everybody who's going to be out there from the 3252 in Sandy, Utah. But Philly, it's safe to say that we are probably as comfortable playing RSL as we are any team on our schedule. I know Steve Cherundolo hates to do this. I hate to do this. But over the course of 7 years, we are 13-3 in all competitions against RSL. Kind of a home away from home anytime we see the Claret and Cobalt.
You know, this is what's kind of dumb about your statement. I love you, buddy, but you drove 1,277.1 miles from Los Angeles to Vancouver to catch a game there in the AstroTurf in Vancouver. From here to Sandy Ass, Utah, we're talking half that, 678.3 miles. If you want to go, you've already gone to greater lengths within your time frame as a supporter of this club. What is stopping you? Driving to Sandy, Utah is far easier than what you did last season, which was driving to Vancouver.
Yeah, what's stopping me is the thunderstorms on the back end of this game. I actually genuinely thought about it. And going up there, but by about the 50th, 60th minute, they're thinking that thunderstorms, by the way, if you guys don't check out our buddy Luke from LGBTQFC pod, is it LGBTFC? LGBTFC, I think it is, right? Our buddy Luke, Luke Clip, he does a weather report before each game on Twitter, I think he does. And I'm sorry, I don't have his Twitter up. But this is where I learned of it, that we're going to have thunderstorms at some point potentially towards the back half of that game. It's very possible that they could even call the game after 60 or 70 minutes, depending on the weather. We don't know. That's kind of what's preventing me. I don't know. Philly and I also, by the way, we collect MLS cards on the side. And my good buddy who runs this MLS collectors group that we're in, he's a diehard RSL fan, really wants me to come up there. But that being
what's
said,
wrong with him?
Either way, what's that?
What's wrong with him?
He's been I got to give him credit. He's been an RSL guy since their first year. This is their 20th season, by the way, RSL. So that's genuine Cougar. You can't question Scarf's loyalty, but you can question his predictions.
I agree.
Scarf, love it.
Scarf, I will say this, like anytime that we do go up to Sandy, Utah, it typically is a good thing. So if you really wanted to brave the 680 miles, chances are you would be rewarded because at the end of the day, RSL is 1-6-0 against LAFC at America First Field, which is pretty darn good. And in that time, LAFC is absolutely implicated and bestowed the shebang bang on RSL, outscoring them 18-6 in that time, which without a doubt, the worst home goal differential that RSL has had against any team within the time frame that LAFC has gone east to Utah. It is, you know, we jokingly used to refer to other stadiums within the arena as Bank of California North, Bank of California East, but ultimately Bank of California, Utah, or BMO Stadium, Utah, in this point, it very much is an LAFC joint because RSL has only managed one win against us in our history.
Yeah, B Mormon is more like it. B Mormon, Sandy, Utah. Look, it's a club that boasts a player, Philly, and I have a feeling he may come up at some point when we talk about players to watch, just because if I were to describe any player as low-hanging fruit, on RSL. But we are going to chat about him a little bit later, but we do have to bring up the reason that we both kind of keep one eye at all times on the happenings of Real Salt Lake, and that is the player who scored his 100th goal in his professional career last week, off an assist from a player, Philly, that I'll be talking about in a little bit. That's right. But how about Chicho Arango? Look, the bottom line is this. It would take a whole heck of a lot for me to ever boo or hate Chicho Arango. I absolutely love the guy. I don't ever want him to score against us, but in every other game, I want him to score twice. Love Chicho. Hate seeing him in claret and cobalt, as they like to say. I do really like those yellow jerseys. Speaking of which, Philly, you and I are going to sit down at some point here in the next, I think it's safe to say, couple of months, because Philly's got a busy rest of the month. But couple of months, and we are going to do our kit rankings episode once again. We're going to do a Western Conference one and an Eastern Conference one. Then we're going to bring it all together. It's going to be beautiful. Any news from future signings, Nestor wants to know? Probably not till July, to be honest, but maybe if we bring Carlos Vela back. But that being said, Philly, it's always fun to be able to watch Chicho Arango. That being said, all right, Philly said, hey, let's get in. Are we getting into it? Let's do it. Why not? Yeah. Players to watch. Some of you are going to go, who? But not when it comes to the LAFC player. The LAFC player is one Kike Oliveira. I can't wait to watch Kike. Uh-oh, Philly's frozen on his end. This is interesting. Let's see. Let's see how this goes. Let's see. Do we have a – oh, Philly's got his eyes closed.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I heard the deep breath after you froze.
This is – I swear to God, man, like as I grow older and as I pay as much money as I do for this bloody internet connection, I thought I would repeal these problems by going higher speed with Spectrum. It blows my mind that in the day and age where we can find some guy in the middle of nowhere, in a hole, in the middle of the desert, but yet I can't get stable freaking internet connection in Burbank, California. It drives me nuts. Spectrum, AT&T, whoever the hell provides internet service in this neck of the woods, my name is Philly. I've got middle fingers to all of you a-holes. This drives me absolutely bonkers.
We would like to apologize to
No apologies. Screw them for this chaos.
No, not to them. To any of the youth that may be listening to old man Philly rant about
They've
getting off
his lawn.
They've
heard far worse. They listen to hip-hop. It's far worse.
Well, I mean, any music genre now, you can hear a lot of stuff. I'm just going to talk about my players to watch, Philly, while you – I don't know what it is.
If I disappear, I'll be right back.
All right. Sounds good. I'm just going to talk – Nestor says to get more RAM or something. I think that's a computer term, Philly. So either way,
that would be an acronym for random access memory. Thank you.
Yeah. My players to watch first for LAFC is Kike Oliveira. I really like what Kike brings to each and every match. Jay Gutierrez, we are not, but it's still on there and we just haven't changed it yet. So that's okay. Listen, Kike Oliveira is going to be a very good scorer in this league. He hasn't been able to put it all together just yet, but it is coming. Everybody, I know we said this about Brian Rodriguez for year after year, but we've already seen some things with Kike Oliveira that lets me believe that it is all going to come together. He is not, I repeat, not going to be an Andre Horta, Brian Rodriguez, Mario Gonzalez type player. He is going to be a definitive scorer and a provider for this club in terms of assists as well. He is my player to watch for LAFC. And I'll give you a second after I say his name for everybody in the millions to say who Matt Crooks. Matt Crooks is my player to watch for Real Salt Lake. And here's the deal with Matt Crooks. Matt Crooks is 6'4". He is a midfielder. It is just me on the screen right now. So there you go. 6'4" midfielder, born in Leeds, England, came through the Manchester United system, played for Middlesbrough, played for teams all the way up and down the table in England. And now he has actually got a bunch of playing time, or at least a bunch of time with Rangers as well, where Jose Cifuentes was for a while. There's Oscar. There you go. That's what I was waiting for. Either way, Matt Crooks, 6'4" midfielder. And if you go back and you watch Chicho Arango's 100th goal of his professional career, the only goal that RSL scored in their last match, Matt Crooks came on for 28 minutes. And after Matt Crooks came on, their entire shape, their entire posture, their entire tempo began to change, did RSL's. Matt Crooks got the assist on Chicho Arango's 100th goal and first goal of the season. He is 6'4", so he will be a problem to deal with in the box. He didn't start for them last match, but I definitely think that Matt Crooks will be getting a big push by RSL. Lafferty, yes, Sifu is no longer with Rangers. I have to go back and see where he went. Philly, do you remember off the top of your head where Sifu went? Now that he's not with Rangers, he's not Corinthians. That was Cheeky Palacios. I'll look in just a minute. But either way, I've got Matt Crooks as my player to watch. Philly, I know you missed it all, and I'm kind of sad you missed my whole thing about Matt Crooks. He is at Brazilian Serie A club Cruzeiro on loan from Rangers. He's on Cruzeiro on loan from Rangers. So, yeah, Matt Crooks, Kike Oliveira, those are my players to watch.
Still trying to, you know what? F it. I'm just going to roll forward with it. At the end of the day, it's the low hanging fruit. Chicho Arango, I'm sorry. It's just, that's the low hanging fruit. You got to look at Chicho Arango. Anytime you're going to mention RSL, Chicho has had his success in this league. He obviously got awarded with scoring his 100th career goal in his last outing. 34, obviously 57 games. Played across all competitions. For LAFC, he did his thing. Chicho Arango was a very beloved member of our club. Did a lot of his goal scoring in the Colombian First Division with Millonarios. But you would have to be a schmuck and a damn fool to not be aware of the fact that this is a guy who's lethal. Very lethal. And one thing I will always appreciate is when he came into BMO Stadium last year when he scored, he wasn't overtly wild within his goal scoring celebration. He was very muted as far what we've seen in the past. He was very respectful for what he did, and he obviously scored, and a lot of players would have probably have gone wild scoring a goal because, well, in some cases, goals don't come very often for a lot of players. For Chicho Arango, they obviously come in boatloads as he scored his 100th career goal just recently. But I have the utmost respect for the man, for his time here, and obviously for his goal scoring celebration last year. He's the player to watch. He is that striker. And obviously, you got to keep your eyes on him. And Denny Bouanga, again, the low hanging fruit. It's so stinking easy, but people tune into LAFC to watch the stars that LAFC have. And Denny Bouanga is coming off a season in which he scored more goals than 99.9% of other players globally. Only two or three players, I think, Erling Haaland, and maybe even, I'd have to get back to you on this, I'm kind of forgetting. But not very many players over the course of a calendar year scored more goals than Denny Bouanga. He hit the post so many darn times last week. And it wasn't because of phenomenal goalkeeping by Seattle. It's just because Denny was sort of snake bitten in that regard. So when you get two incredible players, and by the way, two former teammates going at it, that's going to make for an interesting affair. Chicho, my player to watch for RSL. Denny, the low-hanging fruit for LAFC.
Philly, don't forget, Cristiano Ronaldo led the world in scoring last year too.
Doesn't it even really matter when you're playing in the Saudi First Division?
I'm just saying. All right, let's get to our keys to the match. I'm assuming, Philly, we won't have a graphic for this.
I'm trying. You keep talking. I'll try to figure that out.
I can keep talking with the best of them. No problem. Lafferty is just spicy in the chat right now.
That guy is a jerk. And I say that because he's literally in the other room right now.
My keys to the match. Number one, stay in top gear. I will say this, as Genuine Cougar has reminded all of us, I predicted 2-2 last week because I did not think LAFC would come out on the front foot nearly as much as they did up until the penalty was called. LAFC dominated every single facet of that match. Now, I think that both the penalty and fitness led to us dropping off after about the 75th minute. Hi, Panda. But that being said, I think if LAFC can stay in top gear for the entire 90 minutes or as many of the 90 minutes as we can, Philly said a swear, if we can stay in top gear for as many of the 90 minutes as possible, I think that is going to be huge. We looked so good against a very good Seattle Sounders team. I do not think RSL is going to be nearly as good this season as Seattle. We looked great. That was in large part to Omar Campos having a wonderful game. But that being said, if LAFC can stay in top gear the way that they did, absolutely. And then second, this is something that both Steve Cherundolo and Hugo Lloris talked about over and over again in the press conference. We have to continue to communicate from the back line forward. We really didn't have any lapses in communication that cost us throughout that match. So that being said, if we can continue to communicate, if LAFC can continue to get to know each other, and to me, the biggest thing is, everybody, for our first 14 matches of the year, I haven't looked at how Open Cup plays into any of that, if it does, but for our first 14 matches of the year, we only play every Saturday. That is huge to get that much time on the training ground. That is huge to get that much time with your teammates when you're trying to work on things. So if we can stay in top gear and continue to communicate, it's a wrap.
All right. Let me see if this works.
You're doing great so far.
Oh, hang on.
Do you, boo-boo? I like it. Let's go.
All right. Yeah, do you, boo-boo. Ultimately, LAFC just needs to continue doing exactly what it is that they were doing in their previous matchup. At the end of the day, nobody really has high hopes on really Salty Lake. And the team that actually overachieved, if you ask me, last season. There's no pundit out there that has this team really finishing any higher than what? Fourth place, and that would be Lori Lindsay, and that's just another clown shoes predicament. Most people have them, in terms of MLS pundits, anywhere from 12th to 6th place, and I think that is really stinking fair. Kaylin Kyle has them finishing 2 spots behind us because she thinks LAFC is going to finish in 5th place, and I'm going to pick on her because those extensions have her brain cells tied too gosh darn tight. LAFC by no means is finishing in 5th place. But if you look at the key signings that they've had, Scarf, they're putting a lot of cash and a lot of emphasis on a player that really only comes from the USL, in that of Fidel Barajas. Charleston Battery. Does that mean anything to most of y'all? If that term, that team would be thrown out to all y'all, you would think that they were competing in the same exact division as the Durham Bulls. No, the Charleston Battery are a USL team, and they are putting a lot in to a 17-year-old Mexican youth international. You've got a player that you've mentioned in that of Matt Crooks, which is another guy to keep an eye out for. And, of course, Alexandro Catranis. Another player to keep an eye out for. But if you are putting so much stock into a USL player, you have not revamped your lineup. That is my honest gosh darn opinion. So ultimately, at the end of the day, continue carrying on with the way that you've been playing and create your own legacy. If Carlos Vela is gone, it is time for all of the players in the locker room to create their own legacy. No longer will they have to worry about waiting on El Rey. It's time to be their own El Rey.
Yeah, I think they've already stopped waiting for him, to be perfectly honest. I think if we get him, it's just
he's that close in the locker room, Scarf. We were told that just a week ago by Aaron Long.
But I hear you, but I think we're done waiting for him to show up on the pitch. Even if Carlos Vela signs tomorrow, it's going to be a month before he'll be match ready anyway. So Diego Luna, right, also coming from USL, right, other than Fidel Barajas. I think the both of them, they're very, very good. They're going to be real fun to watch. But I agree. LAFC, I don't think we'll have as much trouble. Let's talk about my score prediction. Genuine Cougar, you get off my back because I'm hopping on the 2-1 bandwagon, folks. I still think that between Chicho Arango and Diego Luna and several of the other players that they have up top, I think that they can get it done at least once. Look, there's no Giorgio Chiellini back there, so Aaron Long, Jesus Murillo, Omar Campos, Ryan Hollingshead, still getting things under control on the back line. We looked incredible with Edward Atuesta in the midfield, doing a lot of things on both ends of the pitch. I mean, as good of a box-to-box midfielder as there is in Major League Soccer. Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, you keep talking. I'm just going to post these things.
You predict one draw out of I don't know how many of these that we've done, and now everybody's surprised that Scarf predicts a winner. 2-1, LAFC. We go up to Sandy, Utah. We get another win. Philly mentioned it. We are 6-1 up in Sandy. Let's make it 7-1 and head back home with 3 more points.
Hot diggity dog, you and I agree for a change. You, me, and of course, because Chris Lafferty is in the chat. Hello, Kitty, and I agree 2-1. Isn't that right?
Yes, Mr. Philly, and greetings to all the millions.
And millions.
Hello, Mr. Lafferty. I say this with the utmost respect. Thank you for commenting in the chat. I have faced a lot of slander from you throughout the years, but keep in mind the fact that every time you mention me, it makes Philly want to show me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's a raid. It's a raid. It's a raid. Ah, it's a raid.
Thank you, Chris Lafferty.
Chris Lafferty just committed a 187, a homicide. A 187 on you. Oh, that's a cop thing. I'm sorry. Either way, Chris Lafferty just committed a crime. He has a kidnapping and an attempted murder. We're going to go out and attack him. Either way, 2-1 is a fair scoring line in the grand scheme of things. My player to watch is going to score a goal, Chicho Arango. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we do really well in Sandy, Utah. We are going to come out with 3 more points, and we are going to remain on top in first place in the West.
Shout out to Christian Romeo. He's got 3-1 in the chat, and it looks like from his YouTube picture, he may be a member of the 42s. Props to Christian Romeo there. So look, Philly and I both have 2-1. You guys, Amber Alert. Philly and I both have 2-1. I think it's just one of those clubs.
Hello Kitty's gone missing.
One of those clubs that does not strike fear into the hearts of men. That is Real Salt Lake. We'll tell you what we think of their new jersey in about a month when we do our kit ranking show. But otherwise,
I'll tell you right now, mierda, and I'll leave it at that.
This one's not great for them this year. Way too busy. Mierda. To talk about that. Yeah, it's not great. All right, Philly has 2-1. I have 2-1. Philly, I will let you, my friend, have the last word.
There's no last word. It's just nice to be back here and doing this. Our second one more sleep of the season. We've got plenty more stuff to talk about throughout the duration of the year. We're obviously going to have to talk about the U.S. Open Cup because there's a lot of confusion there. Ultimately, we're going to figure out the fate of Carlos Vela. We're going to talk about that as well. And we have a podcast to give to y'all tomorrow as LAFC puts the shebang bang on Really Salty Lake. And that's really all I got.
The cool thing is we have a sweet guitar riff to play off as we go bye-bye.
If I could find that damn thing. Oh, there it is. Bye.
Bye.